Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School, and we're glad you joined us here on Solid Ground. And Pastor Brian Parrish begins a message entitled Preparing for the Battle, which deals with Joshua chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. So let's go to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Please turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. And this morning we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 18. I have entitled this message, Preparing for Battle. Because what we have here is Joshua's last instructions before they cross over the Jordan and go in and take Jericho, their first city. And he's going to get them ready for that battle. And it's interesting, the Lord's timing and everything. As I woke up this morning, I set my alarm clock and the news came on. And the news report that I woke up to this morning was the battles that are taking place in modern day Jericho today. The fighting that is still taking place. So literally for thousands of years, this land has been a place of battle and warfare, even to this day, as we're going to be studying about Jericho pretty soon. And it just reinforced what I want to say this morning is that you need to be ready for the spiritual battles that are coming your way that do exist. And Joshua chapter 1 will help us as individuals, as a congregation, be ready for such battles. I'd like to read through those verses, if you'd follow along in your Bibles, where it says in verses 10 through 18, Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, Prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren, armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them. Until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he has given you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that you command us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words, in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. So this morning I want to center our thoughts together around two ideas. The first one is relating to God's delays in verses 10 through 11. And then in verses 12 through 18 I want to focus on the unity of the body of Christ as we prepare for battle. So let's go back to verse 10 and 11. Look at the command that Joshua gives. It says, And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, Prepare provisions for yourself. So he's getting them ready to take off, but not immediately. He says, For within 3 days you'll cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. So he says, In 3 days be ready to move out. Now, why did he select 3 days? Why didn't he say, let's go, we're ready, the Lord's given us the lands? There's always reasons for delays, whether it's 3 days or 3 months or 3 years, in between the time that God's actually going to give us the promises that he's given to us and the point in which he says, get ready for them. So often what happens, God sows something in your heart that you believe he's going to do in your life, but the fulfilling of that often comes much later, doesn't it? And we get frustrated because we say, God, you said you're going to do this. I want you to do it now. Actually, I want you to do it yesterday. And so we get anxious and sometimes we wonder, is God really going to do all this? Am I just dreaming? Am I made this up in my own mind? And all these issues that we have to wrestle with. So I want to speak to that aspect of God's delays of what he's doing in the time in which he sows something into your heart that he says he's given to you and the fulfillment of that. And the first lesson that we need to learn during that time is the lesson of faith. And God will speak something into your heart, and rarely does it happen very quickly. Usually there is some sort of delay. And I believe that is God is testing your faith. Are you going to believe the promises that he's given to you? Are you going to believe that word that he's sown into your hearts? Now, we are as a church at a very interesting time period, and I think I'm learning some lessons about this very aspect of a delay. We have entered in, as many of you know, most of you know, we've entered into escrow to buy a property here in La Mirada, which is beyond our ability to get. It's 9 1/4 acres and a price tag of $5 million, and we're only about $4,965,000 short. So it's going to take faith for us to get that property. In the meantime, someone said that they would give us that money to be able to buy the property, but we don't have that yet. That's supposed to come in later. Now, why didn't God just give us the money when we put on the escrow account and entered into negotiation? Why didn't God do that? Well, He's delayed that for His reasons and for His purposes. Now, what begins to happen is God wants you to trust Him during this delay time that He is going to fulfill the things that He has sown into our hearts. He's not going to disappoint us. Right now, we have the property in hope, but the Bible says we have a hope that does not disappoint. And so the Lord wants to teach us lessons of faith. I began to think on the life of Abraham in relationship to this, because He said to him, in a year, God came to him and said, in a year from now, you're going to have a son. And he had to believe that and receive that by faith. Sarah laughed, and it was kind of overwhelming. I mean, how could this possibly be? They were so old. And then they had to wait for an entire year to see this thing come to pass. Now, if I was Abraham, I don't want to put thoughts in Abraham's life. I would be wondering, first of all, is this really going to happen? Second of all, once Sarah got pregnant, I'm sure my thoughts went, well, maybe she won't be able to carry the baby full term. Or maybe Sarah will die in giving birth. That was very common in that day and age. Not quite as much like it is today, but it was very common in that era. So all these thoughts and doubts they would have had to wrestle through. The Lord would want us to walk by faith. And for me and us as a congregation, it's interesting. John Corson once said, as you're going through the Bible, as a church, he says, you are where you are. Wherever you're at in the Bible, that's where your church is at. I find it interesting. We are where we are, right? In the book of Joshua, we're on this side of the Jordan. We want to go in and get the land, but there's a delay, and there's a time of faith that God would cause us to walk through. And in my own mind, there's all these thoughts that rise up in my heart. Some are doubts. And I just have to, as the Bible says, bring those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. See, because the Lord's never done this for us, has He? We've never seen the Lord give us something so tremendous like this. So it's almost too good to be true. I find myself, like Sarah, I'm laughing at the possibility that this is going to